Thank you again for tuning in to Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. And as we continue our Matthew study, turn to Matthew chapter 4. And this is lesson 13. And Matthew chapter 4, what we've learned in Matthew chapters 1 through 3, we've learned about the introduction of the Lord Jesus Christ as the coming King and redeeming to apostate Israel. Okay, you remember that? John the Baptist announced him and proclaimed the theme, repent and be baptized, for the kingdom of heaven is at what? Hand. And Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, identifies himself with that believing remnant. That's what we learned last week. He said, it's becometh us fulfill all righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ is identifying himself with that little flock that got baptized with John the Baptist and the nation Israel that followed John the Baptist. He's identifying with him at that point. We studied that last week. We also seen in chapter 3, verse 16, that the Trinity, the God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are first announced, where God the Father announcing Jesus and says, this is my beloved Son, and whom I am well pleased, and the Holy Spirit anoints and seals the Lord Jesus Christ as prophet, priest, and king. So that's where he goes in. And that with that being said, it fully equips the Lord Jesus Christ and his ministries to begin in chapter 4. And that's where we're going to begin today. Then, chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Then, that's based on all the things that we just read in chapter 3. All the things that was in above there. Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. One thing we know as Bible believers, that Jesus Christ is known as the second what?
Adam.
Okay? He's the second Adam. He's the faithful man on earth to do God's will and to prove that he is the Messiah. He will be tested by being tempted. Now, in the Bible, what do you think tempted means? There's two meanings in the Bible of tempting. Okay? One, I'll share this with you. One is to be enticed to do something wrong. Okay? That's what, hey, I'm tempting you to go out here and speed. I'm tempting you to disobey your boss. I'm tempting you to disobey your mom and dad. That's being tested, isn't it? The other one is to be tried out or to test you. Get Hebrews chapter 11 and Genesis chapter 22. Hebrews chapter 11 and Genesis 22. Hebrews chapter 11 and Genesis 22. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was, what's that word? Tried, okay? Tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. So he says tried there, but go to Genesis chapter 22.
What was the verse in Hebrews?
11:17. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did, now what's that word? Tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. So the tempt and tried is the same thing. You're being tempted, you're being tried. Okay? In those two passages, the word tempted is defined as what I just said, tried and to test out. Okay? Today, and as a body of Christ, members of the body of Christ, are you tempted? Who are you tempted by? Satan? Who, what's his name? Lucifer. But he's also known as the tempter. Okay? Go with you, Will, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And get back to Matthew chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. today, as members of the body of Christ, you're no different in being tempted in some things. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5, Paul the Apostle says, "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain." So the tempter comes even unto us today, does he not? Yeah. Once you're saved, you know he can't overpower you empower you or something like that. You're saved. Go back to Matthew chapter 4. So all through the Bible, the tempter is there tempting God's people, if you will. Matthew chapter 4, verse 2. "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered." Jesus fasted how long? 40 days and 40 nights and was hungry. In the Bible, what do you think the word number 40 means? The tried be what? Tested or what? Give me one more word. Testing, probation period. 40 days. Didn't it rain 40 days and 40 nights? Okay. Jesus is there 40 days and 40 nights. What else has happened? Wasn't David on the throne 40 years? Okay. Solomon's on the throne 40 years. 40 years, yeah. And Moses, 40 years. He was 40 years old. He went out in the desert, and 40 years later he came back. You know, so that's a probation period, testing. Verse 3. "And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made of bread." The tempter, now who is that? Satan, devil, comes. Our Savior is tempted the same way that Adam was in the garden. And the way we are today. So Jesus knows, Lord Jesus Christ knows what we've experienced. You believe that or believe it? You believe that?
Amen.
Okay. Only he did not what?
Sin.
Go to Hebrews, get Hebrews chapter 2 and Hebrews chapter 4. You need to see this because a lot of people say, yeah, Jesus did, but I believe he sinned. You know, they will discredit Jesus. Not, I'm talking about not saved people, but people that just want to deny who Jesus Christ is. You know, they just try to find something. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. "For in that he himself had suffered and been tempted, he is able to secure them that are" what? "Tempted." Go to chapter 4, verse 15. Chapter 4, verse 15.
Hebrews.
"For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." That settles it for me. But let me ask you something. It's important to know that he wasn't tempted in the silly things that when you're tempted of. Let me think of one. Overspending. Overeating. Jealousy, rage, lying. He wasn't tempted in that type of stuff. We're tempting in that type of stuff. We're part of flesh. Believe me. I'm standing here today. But look, what he was tempted in 3 points was in, go to 1 John chapter 2 and get Genesis chapter 3. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted in. The same thing that happened in the garden. 1 John, Peter, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. And get Genesis chapter 3. First John and Genesis chapter 3. First John chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the what? The world. You see those things? Lust of the what? Flesh, lust of the eyes, and what? The pride of life. Go to Genesis chapter 3. Well, naturally, but the things here, this is going to take place over here. But what happened in times past? The same thing that you and I are tempted. We're tempted to those things. But look in Genesis chapter 3, verses 4-7. And when and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good, what? From evil. Verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. Now what did John just say? Okay? She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave it also to her husband with her, and he did eat. So that flesh, that lust of the flesh, what is it in this thing? What do you want to feed your flesh?
Good to eat.
Food, yeah. See? And then the lust of the eye. What was that? Pleasant. Boy, that sure looks good. You know? Then you look at the pride of life. And John, what is this? Make one what? Wise. Okay? At these three points in temptation, man has always failed. Right? But Jesus tempted. Go back to Matthew chapter 4. But by the way, we may get to this in a few minutes. But what did that verse 6 say? Who was with Eve and Satan when all this was going on? Sitting there watching it happen. Hello? Who's supposed to have been the spiritual guy there?
Adam.
He just said. And also gave to her husband with her. He was with her. Go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 3. Make these stones be made of what? What did we just see? What is that? Flesh. Bread, flesh. Come, show your splendor. In verse 4. That's the eye. Then offer the kingdom of the world. That's pride. That's rulership. Look at me. I'm king. See, those three temptations, what Jesus Christ has been tempted there. Same as Adam. Jesus Christ stood firm and was victorious. You believe it? Why? Because of what? The Bible told me so, right? You're going to believe the Bible, right? Every time Satan speaks in the Scriptures, he questions and casts doubt on God's Word, don't he? Every time. Look, Genesis chapter 3, what did we just read? Yea, hath God not said? He's putting doubt. In Job, when he speaks, in Job chapter 1, verse 9, it says, does Job fear God for naught? See, he's questioning, isn't he? Putting doubt. Matthew 4, verse 3, and he said, verse 3, if thou be the Son of God. Verse 6, look at verse 6 in Matthew 4, 6. And he said, if thou be the Son of God. Verse 9, he says, and all these things I will give thee if thou wilt. You see that if? That if will put doubt in your mind. You know that? You think about some things, what we talked about this morning, about sending stuff out and getting, what if 4,000 people show up? Oh. Put down my mind, man. You know, we have two services. Have 8:30 and 10:30. That's an idea. But look, Matthew 4, 3, 6, and 9, if. Satan wants to sow doubt in your mind. Everything Satan tempted Jesus to do. And verse, okay, verse, where were we at? Verse 3. And when the verse 4. But he answered and said, it was written. Verse 3, let me slow down. Command these stones to be made of what? Bread. Was verse 6. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he will give the angels charge concerning thee. And if thou hands, thou shalt bear thee up, lest any time thou dash their foot. Verse 9. All these things will I give thee if they fall down and worship me. Talking about the verse 8, exceeding riches in the kingdoms of the world. Many of you know that, right? Okay, look. Do you know that everything that Satan is tempting Jesus Christ to do, Jesus is going to do?
Amen.
Or, excuse me, and will do?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when's that going to happen?
Ages to come.
In the second coming, Satan is tempting him to do this at the wrong time. Now, let me ask you this. How many times are you tempted, think about this, to do something right when you know it's right, but it's at the wrong time? That's what was going on here. Yeah. You know, Jesus probably sitting back, yeah, yes, yes, yes. But you know the first thing Jesus says after the baptism, you know, when he got orientated in his kingdom priesthood, verse 4, but he answered and said, look at those next four words. It is
written.
That is the first thing that comes out of Lord Jesus Christ's mouth. It is what?
Written.
He refers back to the written word. That's what you and I should do when we talk to people and showing people, refer back to the written word. Many of you are in businesses and all and career field and professionalism. Hey, you got to refer back to what? That manual, or people don't listen to you. You know, we talk about being special commodities relocation engineers and how you're on the interstate and that big DOT man pulls you over. What does he do? Refers back to the federal regulation manual. And if you don't line up with that, and if you can't show him where you're at and stuff like that, you big dummy, he's going to write you up. But look, Satan tells Jesus Christ to make stones into bread in the wilderness. Go to Revelation chapter 12 and get Revelation chapter 12. You know where Hosea and Micah is? Yes, you do. Get Micah and Hosea.
Chapter 12.
Revelation chapter 12. Get Hosea chapter 2 and Micah chapter 7. Lord Jesus Christ, everything that Satan is tempting, what does this do? We're going to chapter 12. I'm trying to get Micah here. Revelation chapter 12. Verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness when she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Verse 14. And the woman was given two wings. Verse 14. And to the woman there were given two wings of the great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and a time and a half from the face of the serpent. You know what he feeds her there? By the way, who is that woman? That's she.
It's that little group.
Is Israel a little flock? It's not all of Israel. It's that little flock, that believing remnant, that believes God, that takes His word for it, and in Hebrews Revelation, over here in ages to come, and mid wrath, if you will, mid times of Jacob trouble, and she flees to the wilderness. Go to Hosea chapter 2. Hosea chapter 2. Therefore, verse 14. Therefore, behold, I will lure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for the door of hope, and she shall sing there in the days of her youth, and as in the days when she came up out of the land of what? Now, when did that happen? That is just like when in the book of Exodus, in the book of Numbers, in the book of Deuteronomy, when God took Israel out of that bondage into the wilderness, did He feed them? You know He did. Micah chapter 7. Verse 14. Feed thou people with thy rod, the flock of thy inheritance, which dwelt solitary in the wood in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in Basan and Gilead as the days of old. According to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt, will I show unto him marvelous things. They're being prepared from those prophets what to do over here. Now Satan takes Jesus Christ. Let's move back to Revelation. Get Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3 and Revelation chapter 19. Malachi 3. And Revelation 19. Revelation 19, Satan takes Jesus up to the holy city and sitteth him upon the temple, and that's in Matthew chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. And Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and righteousness he doth judge and make war. And you read all the way down through there if you want to. He's the Word of God, called Word of God. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? Amen. That he's going to it's going to happen there. In Malachi chapter 3, keep your hands in Revelation, by the way. We're coming right back there. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye shall seek shall suddenly come to his temple, when this even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. When's that going to happen? That's second coming passages, okay? That's Matthew chapter 23, verse 38, if you will. Okay? That all that stuff is referring to ages to come, and it's going to happen. He's going to be tempted. He's going to settle him up on the mountain. Then in Matthew chapter 4, verse 8, go back to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Satan tells Jesus he can be ruler over all the kingdoms in the world. Boy, that'd be a tempting, wouldn't it? Think about that. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Satan did. Revelation 19, verse 16. And he hath on his vesture and in his thigh and the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now what Jesus Christ going to be? King of kings and Lord of lords. Look at Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. Verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and what? Ever. Is that going to happen? Okay. You see the temptation? Go back to Matthew. Every temptation that that Satan bestowed upon the Lord Jesus Christ, he's actually going to do over here. Now, I heard people say in the past, when Satan says, if thou be the Son of God, did Satan really know that he was the Son of God?
Of course he did.
You know, but think about it. You know, if you don't think he is, wouldn't you say, if you are? You know, if you are a truck driver, prove that you can drive my truck out there. You know what I'm saying? But we know to be true that He is the Son of God. And yes, He knew who Jesus Christ was. He was a cherubim. He was directing music, if you will, over the whole heavens. So Jesus was there. So yes, He knew. But what did the temptation do? Doesn't Paul say He will tempt you? How does He tempt you today? Yeah. Don't listen to that message. Put doubt in your mind. Don't go to church today. I'm tired. You know, I had a hard night. We went to a play and it was sold out and didn't get tickets. So we ended up eating ice cream. You know, we was tempted in all points. You know? In Matthew chapter 4, Satan's temptation to Jesus was to try and make Him do something that is right, but is at the wrong time. Man, when I think about that, I'm thinking, man, how many times are we tempted to do what's right, but it's not the right time? I can think of plenty of times. This is why it's so important to rightly divide the word of truth. If you don't know what God is doing today, you will be tricked by Satan. Do you believe that? You know, there's thousands out there being tricked today. Thousands. And if you have to have a single heart and want to know what God wants, Satan wants Jesus to be scriptural but not dispensational. Who else is dispensational? You realize that, don't you? Satan is a dispensationalist. By the way, when the legions was in and they came and they told Jesus Christ, are you here to torment us before the time? Here's Jesus Christ, you know, coming. They knew who He was. And they're like, are you here to torment us before our time? What did Jesus say? He didn't dispute that. But what did the legions ask? Cast us into this herd of swine. And where did the swine go? Out in the sea. And what is the sea reference to? They went out there to hide. They think that that's a hiding ground, but the sea gives up the dead, and they just come, so they don't, really don't hide. There's a lot of topology there that we really need to think about some things. You can't hide. He's going to come. The time when He comes back over here, the second time coming, He's going to destroy them. But they asked, is it the time yet? So who's dispensationalist there? Satan is tempting Jesus Christ with all the things that he has at his second coming. Just remember that. However, it is an important issue that Satan is telling Jesus that he can have this without to die on the cross. Now that would be tempting, wouldn't it? You mean to tell me I wouldn't have to die and I can have this? You know, people tells me, well, I'll share this with you. Jesus Christ meets Satan just like the tribulation saints will meet the Antichrist. That's exactly what this little flock will meet the Antichrist over here. And guess what they're going to do? They're going to bow down and take the mark and eat white bread and and drink Mountain Dew and Dr. Pepper and all that stuff? No. What do? They flee. They flee. I pose this question to people a lot in the fact of dispensationalism. And I don't like to use this term if, but I'm going to throw it out there because there's a lot of ifs. And when you base your doctrine on ifs, it can get you away from Pauline truths. It can get you away from biblical truths. And you'll start chasing all kinds of stuff. If the Lord Jesus Christ bowed down to Satan and Satan gave him the kingdoms of the world, why would that have not been a big thing to Satan? He's the God of this world, and what do you say? He's the prince and power of the what?
Air.
Not only he's the God of this world, he's the prince and power of the air. You with me? And if you know the universe, you got the third heaven where God's throne is. You got the second heaven where you got the stars and universe, and you got the first heaven, the blue skies. Satan is the God of this world, and the prince and power of the air, the first and second heavens. Okay, he controls that right now. By the way, he convinced 1/3 angelic beings to follow him. So 1/3 is void up there. But there's still saved angelic beings up there trying to conduct their business. All right? So if he gives Jesus Christ the kingdom of this world, guess what he's still over?
First and second heaven.
He's still over Jesus. He's still over God. What does Isaiah 14 talks about? There's five I wills there. And the last thing it says, I want to be like the Most High God. You know what that title is? Possessor of the heaven and earth. It is God. And I believe wholeheartedly that when this time comes over here, these 7 years, Satan is God. It comes to fruition. Satan, you follow me? But let me ask this. So why, let me back up. Even if Jesus did that, God still has to deal with heavens. That's why this mystery program. No matter what was going to happen, this still had to take place. If you think about it or not. God still has to deal with the heavenly program.
Plus, if Christ would have done that, if he would have accepted that temptation and not died on the cross, everyone dies in their sins.
Nobody's paid for our sins. Bulls and goats, all that stuff. What did we learn last week? The goats was to take away what? Sins. Yes.
I think you need to elaborate on that last statement you just made.
About this?
All the listening audience about in the seventh week of Daniel, Satan is God.
Well, he's like the Most High God. That's
like,
what...
Like. I mean, is and like. You don't put like in there.
Go to 1 Thessalonians. Listen. Everything that Satan's doing is a counterfeit of God.
Right.
And he's a liar. Other than God's not a liar. You know that. God cannot lie. But when he comes on the scene as God, he lets and be lets. And I don't want to go too much into this right now, sister. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now I beseech you, verse 1, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, by our gathering together unto Him, that ye not be soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letters, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now who's the man of sin? Okay, who's the son of perdition? Okay, there's two people. Who? Verse 4, who, the man of sin, oppose and exalt himself, the son of perdition, above all that is called God, and at his worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself the son of perdition, that he is God. That's where I get that at. Okay? It's going to happen over here. That's why I'm talking about that it's going to happen. He makes it so bad on the little flock, that's why they flee. Now go back to Matthew. I'm not going no more into that. I just want to let you know, I believe Isaiah 14. You don't believe it? Go to Isaiah 14. Don't take my word for it. Isaiah 14. Now, if you're going to believe all that other stuff, that God's going to feed them and all this stuff, look at Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, verse 12. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? How art thou? You got to have a right Bible to see it, the word Lucifer in there. That's Satan. How art thou fallen? Verse 13. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of configuration in the sides of the north. That's where his government agency is, by the way, God's. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. There's five I wills there, and it comes to fruition over here. Now, that might scare some of you. It should. But right now, you're in the body of Christ, and you're saved and sealed to the day of redemption. So when those saints over here, that little flock that God's preparing them in Matthew, and that's why in the book of Matthew, when you study the book of Matthew, you've got to understand it. It's a transitional book. Everything that we're learning is preparing that little flock how to work and deal and understand what's going on over here in Hebrews through Revelation. It has nothing to do with you and I and the body of Christ. Period. I said it. Come after me. Satan will come after us the same way. For examples, let me show you something. It is right to study your Bible. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Right to pray. Yes.
Yes.
Right to witness. Yay. Right to pay your bills.
Yes.
No. Yes. Okay. Right to be with your family, etc., etc., etc. Perhaps when you are studying your Bible, maybe you should be working or vice versa. You with me on that? Maybe you should be studying your Bible, but what are you doing? I'm out here working on a car. Or I'm social networking. Okay? Or maybe I should be social networking, but I'm studying my Bible. Okay? Maybe you should study, pray, witness, the timing. With me? God did not give preachers, if you will, and ministers, the responsibility to tell people what they should be doing or when they should be doing it. If you know me, I don't put a hand over you, do I, brothers? Okay? You're probably thankful for that, but some of you probably wish, man, I wish they had to smack me. No, just joking. I don't treat you like God treated Israel that way. He treated them like a little child and he spanked them. Do this, don't do that. God treats you and I as mature adults when you understand some things, and guess what? That's how he deals with you. And sometimes we probably feel like we need to be spanked. But you get in the Word of God, and guess what happens? It kind of chastises you, don't it? Kind of change your way. God has revealed His will in His book and equipped us to discern the Word, the purpose in our hearts. And that applies the doctrine to the details of life. You with me? If you understand the Word of God rightly divided, and you understand the doctrine that's for today, and you understand what book's for you, and you get that in that and down in your soul, that's your teacher. And that can help you with a lot of things. This is who and what Christ is in Matthew chapter 4. If you will, we'll go back to chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. The operation on the principle. Remember back there in chapter 3, verse 17? And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He's identifying Jesus Christ as his full-grown Son. As you know, he's got adoption. Well, we know what he does after he died and buried and rose again. He gets it all, right? That's the sealing of it. But he's acknowledging Jesus Christ as his full-grown Son. And that's why he sees us in a way, if you think about the operation principle of a full adult sonship, the adoption to do the will of the Father. That's what God, Jesus Christ could have said, yep, you're right. But he kept saying, it is written. It is written. It is written. Go to Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of" what? God. Christ's response to Satan, "It is written." These are, once again, these are the first words out of Jesus Christ's mouth after the anointed, "It is written." And begins his earthly ministry, and he takes the doctrine that resident in his soul to overcome the temptation of the devil. Jesus Christ, you think he's a Bible believer? Okay? He is the Bible believer. He doesn't spend time questioning, doubting, correcting, analyzing, or revisiting the issue. He says it is written. You and I today, if we want to make some application of that, when we're dealing with some people that might be, you know, don't know their Bible or maybe don't understand something, you go to the Word of God. You don't analyze it. You don't do this. Well, what if? You know, I quit asking my children, "Why did you do this?" You know what I asked them? "What are you going to do about that F? I know why you got it." Playing games all night. You know, or just think, "I've got plenty of time. I've got plenty of time." Guess what? That test shows up and you didn't study. So, what are you going to do about it? Okay? Let's look at a couple more verses. John 17. John 17. John 17. It is written. John 17. I like Luke. If you follow Luke's when he's talking about this, Matthew goes, "It is written, it is written, it is written." Luke goes, "It is written, it is written." And finally, Jesus said, "It is said." To me, I'm like, whoa. You know, I like that because sometimes my kids don't listen to me. "It's written, it's written." And Todd said, "It is said." And they're like, "Ooh, dead serious." But look, verse 17, verse 8. Chapter 17, verse 8. "For I will give unto them the words which thou givest me, and thou hast received them, and have known surely that I come out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst sent me." Verse 14. "I have given them thy word." This is John. Who's John writing Jesus as? God. Verse 14. "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Verse 17. "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is" what? "Truth." The reason that is important, it is written, the response to Satan, to find back in the Old Testament. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. What is Deuteronomy known as? repeat, okay? The second giving of the law, okay? It's the fifth book. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. Deuteronomy 8, 1. All the commandments which I have commanded thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know that thou was what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee now know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, the Lord doth man live. Thou raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. The testing of Israel in the wilderness 40 years should have taught them, it is written. You with me? Okay? Not by bread alone. Is that what he says to Satan? In other words, Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 is doing perfectly what Israel should have learned and have done. Obedience to what God said. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus is representing the true vine. We saw that in several lessons. The faithful man, the true shepherd. Till next week.